For the fans, by the fans, this is the Non-League Football Show. Coming up this week, one new stand, one new ground, one new old face returning, and plenty to think about for months. Plus, we pat on the back one of Non-League's latest big boys to go all the way back to the Football League. Welcome to the Non-League Football Show, sponsored by Pitch Hero. Running your club online should be simple. So start the free Pitch Hero trial today and see what a Pitch Hero website can do for your side. Let's bring in the team. Rumours that big signings will happen. We'll hear more about that a little bit later. At Billericay again, a team that seems to be signing everyone on the planet. What they really need, though, is the human wall in goal. A former international goalkeeper turned manager, the likes of AFC Wimbledon beyond, turned wannabe goal for Dave Anderson.
Good morning.
I was trying not to laugh at saying our esteemed sponsors, because the amount of tweets I had this week, and then my mum phoned me and said, I always thought it was Pichiro.
Pichiro. I think they should change it. I think they should change it to Pichiro.
I think every time that you log on a Pitch Hero website, you should just hear your voice. Pichiro. I don't know what that was. That wasn't me doing an accent. Impersonation of you, Dave. That was just me. He's also with us. A gob on a stick if you need one. Look no further than FC United of Manchester Radio, Swampy.
Good morning, everybody.
So we'll get more news from the likes of Dave and Swampy a little bit later in the show. But let's start in the Vanarama National, because Maidstone marked the opening of a new stand by going unbeaten in six National League matches in a 1-1 draw with Sutton. But it's not just any old stand. Let's talk to co-owner Oliver Ash. Hiya, Oliver.
Hello, Caroline.
Greetings from, I know you're over in France at the moment, but you were over this opening of the stand. What was that moment like?
Well, it was very special. It was great. We had a good crowd, 3,000, which is not bad for a Tuesday night watching two clubs trying to avoid relegation. And the stand looked splendid. And we had one of our juniors say the words, "I declare the stand open," and everybody cheered. And it was a wonderful evening.
Not just any old junior, not that all your juniors, of course, are special, but it was Fran Saunders then, wasn't it? 10-year-old son of manager Jay.
That's right, yes. Fran was around and very willing, which is quite unusual for a 10-year-old. They usually run a mile from the idea of having to say something in front of a big crowd. But he was brilliant, and he gave it just the right intonation, and everybody cheered, and I think it was a moment he shall remember all his life.
We, of course, have spoken to you many times over your 3G stroke, 4G stroke, 5G stroke. I think Dave had it up to 6G at one pitch. But this stand in itself is also special because you've implemented safe standing, which for a club looking to progress, to go forward to the Football League, is quite a move forward.
Yes, I'm not quite sure what safe standing means, but we've designed the thing because we haven't got very much room around the stadium. It's a bit steeper than I suppose the advised steepness, which is only 25 degrees. It's a little bit steeper, so we've got lots of extra barriers everywhere. So the view is really good. You get a good perspective even at the far end. And it's very comfortable because you've got lots of barriers. So the crowd seemed to get used to it pretty quickly. It wasn't completely full. It can fit in 1,800. And we must have probably had 1,000 or 1,200 in there. But it was very comfortable, a great view, and the acoustics were terrific. So the singing and the chanting was booming out across the ground, and the players said that was very sort of helpful, good atmosphere.
I know that back in November we covered on the BBC a story about the Premier League meeting again to talk about safe standing and whether it would be a way forward. Having experienced what you have this week and you putting your own money into this project, do you think we'll see a stage where the Football League, the Premier League, others will really push for this again?
Oh, goodness, I've no idea. I mean, they have different issues, don't they, at the very top when you've got tens of thousands and not, you know, 1,000 or 2,000 standing. And there's been, you know, all the catastrophes in recent history that make people really reflect about doing things too quickly. So whereas in many aspects of football administration, I believe that things don't move fast enough and it's far too reactionary. I think as far as safety is concerned, I can understand why the authorities would want to be very careful. In our case, we know we have a limited number of people. We've got a capacity of limit of 1,800, whereas probably it could take 2,500. But in safety terms, if it's got that sort of capacity, it should be safe. There's no reason why it wouldn't be safe. There's plenty of exits, and it's a great viewing position. We can also in the near future think about fitting a few folding seats. So that's a different thing altogether. The ones that I think Celtic have got, which are interesting because it would give us the opportunity to put a few seats in the away segregated section, which means that the away supporters would all be together and wouldn't just be lumped as standing only. And I think that would be great. So within one area for our away supporters, they'd have standing, a few seats, and some disabled seats as well, all in the same area so they can all cheer their team together, which is often something that lacks in ground at our level.
Yeah, too right.
I
want to build that atmosphere. Go on, Dave.
Hi, Oliver. Obviously, I've played there a few times with different clubs. It's not a ground that ever struggled with atmosphere, I found, but I'm just trying to get the logistics. Is it on the same side as the dressing rooms then, the dressing room side of the ground?
No, the new stand is if you come out of the tunnel and you turn right, it's to the right-hand side. It's behind the goal on the right-hand side.
Okay.
The ground is
unbalanced. So it's quite...
We've got two big stands and two parts of the ground which are, you know, virtually unbuilt. So it's a bit weird, but that's what happens when you sort of build from a field upwards. It tends to go in bits, so it's a bit difficult to do it all in one go.
And what does that take the ground capacity to now?
Well, it takes you to 4,200. So we needed to get to 4,000 by the 31st of March to avoid being frog-marched out of the National League because the rules are such. So we've achieved that in good time. And that was really the reason why we had to get on with the project as quickly as we could to get to that capacity by the end of March.
Sure. And last one for me, Oliver. You know, and it is the football side of it. It's still very, very tight down there. You know, you're certainly in the ball game, that's for sure. But it's going to be an edgy end of the season. Be awful if you did all of that and then drop down again.
Yeah, well, you can say that again. It's very edgy. Every single game. It's sort of excitement we could do without. Really, I never thought I'd be dreaming of mid-table obscurity. that would be a wonderful position to be in. But it does add excitement. And the good thing about what's been achieved is that we have a, you know, we have a stable business model, and the revenues are good. And if we go down, it's not the end of the world. And we always try and think positively and look at the good things about going down one level. One of them would be a lot less travelling, and the other thing is that people would then be able to get their pint out on the terraces again, because it does affect the atmosphere and the pleasure of a game when you can't drink within sight of the pitch. So, you know, we look at the bright side, but at the same time, there's a 50-50 chance that we can get out of this difficult situation, and we're, you know, the team is doing a really good job of picking its performances up, and just keep our fingers crossed that they can keep going till the end of the season.
That's a really interesting point, Oliver, that you feel maybe kind of your bit of a love of football, or some of the fans' love of football, has maybe gone with that promotion then.
Well, I'm not sure it's the love of football, because you've got pros and cons, haven't you? There's a great excitement of playing against some of these big teams, the Tranmere, the Lincolns. That's something you don't get one level down. But yes, as you go up, you lose that sort of the caricature of non-league that we all love, the man with a dog by the side of the pitch. That goes into the background as you go up to the National League. The National League is now effectively League Three. It's the fifth professional division, and it is no longer the fun of the sort of the non-league as we kind of used to know it. So that's, you know, the downside is that you know, you can't relax so much. You've got more segregation. There's, you know, you find policemen at the ground that we didn't used to have. All these sorts of things that are the bad bits of being in the National League. There's plenty of good bits, but there are these bad bits as well.
Oliver, thank you. We'll let you go now. Oliver Ash, co-owner down at Maidstone. Dave Anderson, you said you've been there, although you couldn't locate where the stand was. But that, he's one of those grounds. They are trying to push things forward, but maybe I was picking up on the wrong line. But I did find it interesting that, you know, it wouldn't be such a bad thing if they dropped drop down again?
Oh, no, I think, Kaz, it would be about, I think you never want to drop down when you're moving forward, and that they've got themselves where they've introduced a new stand, they've spent a lot of money on the ground. It is, for anybody who hasn't been there, it's a really great ground to go and play football at. It's compact, it's a big crowd, they're vocal. It's sort of in a hollow with the ground up around it. But I think, you know, and with Jay Saunders as well, you know, he's been there a while now, Jay, he won't want relegation on his CV. And so I wish them well, because I always had a soft spot for the place because of my love of 4G and non-league.
Well, I think, Dave, to be honest, I mean, as a football club, I mean, you can see them moving forward. You know, they're progressive. They've got the 4G, and I know, you know, I've been not necessarily a fan of it either. But with this new safe standing, hearing them talk about that with the implementation of additional seating available going forward, and just on the whole safe standing campaign and issue, let's not forget that virtually all of German Bundesliga football have safe standing, and if 27,000 people can safe stand at Dortmund and 25 at Schalke, it just goes to prove that, you know, safe standing is probably the way forward. It creates more atmosphere. I think it's more inclusive. It gets people together because they're standing next to each other rather than sitting next to people that they don't necessarily know. So for me, it's got to be the way forward, and it's great to see a club, you know, I mean, I know in the UK, Celtic have got that. I think Villa have been looking at implementing it as well. And to see a club in the National League being able to implement that, I think it bodes well for going forward for everybody.
You are listening to the Non-League Football Show, sponsored by Pitch Hero, the UK's number one provider of sports club websites. I might actually call this a ground special, because up next, a momentous day that Dave Waters broke news of last week. The future of our next guest depended on them getting a new home, and it's third time lucky for Horsham FC as their new ground was approved. So let's quickly check in with CEO John Lines. Hiya, John. Congratulations.
Good morning. Thank you. Thank you very much indeed.
I was reading some of the councillors' notes, and one of them, to paraphrase, said he didn't want to be responsible for the death of the club. Was this really the last chance saloon?
It was the last chance saloon, Karen. If we hadn't got planning permission this week, we would have simply died. We haven't got anywhere to play senior football. We've looked around for many, many years at numerous options, but the ground that we're going to hopefully relocate to has been the most sustainable and the best option for us. There just isn't any way you can go out and buy suitable land to build a football ground.
Hasn't it, John, by the, you know, we followed it over the years. It's the Holbrook Club, then there was the Golf Fitness Club as well, where there was another ground proposed for. For you personally, how tough has it been to keep going back and keep going again to try and find a ground?
It's been tough, but then it's almost a vocation. I love the football club. I've put my time and effort into it because it's a club that is well supported. It's a great club to be associated with, and this is great news for us. Great news,
Dave Anderson.
Yeah, John, I think it's great news for everyone, because again, I've been at the club, played against Horsham, both Horshams actually, the little club out the back we played in pre-season. The Lardy boys, remember their songs, remember the atmosphere in the ground. So it would have been such a shame, because it's got massive potential, John, on it, and hopefully, you know, get your new ground. You will then get the crowds back up again, because you're getting 400 or 500 at times, aren't you?
We were back in 2007, 2008. We've suffered two relegations and a recent promotion. We've had to basically cut our cloth to suit our means. We haven't had finances available to play at a higher level, and the Lyman 1 level suits us. Certainly for the time being. I would like to just say that I must thank all of the council members who voted in favour for this after such a long time, and we're very, very grateful to them.
Yeah, because like you say, it's always difficult for councils. I mean, I think every council should have a charity, a community asset within the town or the city or the village, wherever they are, for the football club and to hang on to it. Do you think now through Horsham, you've got, through your district council, you've got a ground that, that will be there for the long term?
Absolutely long term. We don't want to move again. We're in our last ground for a very, very long time. And this is our last port of call. We're not going to go anywhere. We want to stay here and thrive.
Brilliant. Swampy.
Yeah, I think just reiterating your words there, Caroline, to be honest. I mean, football clubs themselves, integral part of the community. You've now the opportunity to build a new ground within the community and extend what you do as a football club, which I think is absolutely admirable and the way to go forward. And I think you're right, asset lock, the ground, if a club ever disappears, is a great way of doing things, making sure that it's it stays within the community. And a long road ahead, obviously, building it. How long is it going to be before the ground is up and running?
Probably about 18 months, 20 months before we can finalise it. There's a lot of work to do over the next 12 weeks with various conditions and negotiations that have to go on with the council. But we hope to probably start building sometime around August, with a bit of luck. It's probably a year's project.
And where will it take you to, John? What level can the club get to, do you think?
We could probably only go as far as Ryman Prem, I would suggest. That's also within the ethos of the club. We're not a big town. We probably couldn't get any higher than Ryman Prem in the foreseeable future with what we've got to play on. And that's within the ethos of the club, and that's what we'll project ourselves to do.
Fantastic. John, thank you so much for coming on. Actually, Dave Anson, yeah. You got one more?
No, I was going to say to you, I don't know where John would be aware of this, but I actually, the Lardy Boys was there singing, the guys who sung, and they used to sing No Surrender to the Low Fat Spread, and I played it on the flute on BBC London. Do you remember? You got me in to play on the flute. So I'm absolutely an honorary Lardy Boy. Lardy Boy.
Yeah. And you'll be welcome down there any time. You'll be welcome. They're a great bunch of lads. Really are.
I think we all are, actually, judging by all of our waistline. John, thank you for coming on again. And good luck.
Pleasure.
The hard work, like you say, starts now. So good luck, John. John Lyons, just yep. Checking in with him down at Horsham in Sussex. It is.
Brilliant.
I've just remembered that, Dave. That is, yes, well worth digging out. That must exist somewhere on the internet, surely.
I sincerely hope not.
If not, we might get you to play it again.
I tell you what it is. It's, you know, and it's, sometimes we have to try and paint a picture for people who haven't been to Maidstone or Horsham, and I've been fortunate to be in the dugout of both grounds, and they're both great places. And this, to see Horsham up and alive again, and if they do get their base, the supporters will come back, and it's a real great place to go and play football, guys. So I'm delighted by the news.
And what I love about that, Swampy, as well, is John saying, actually, no, we know our level. It's going to be Ryman Premier, and that's what we'll enjoy our football to. How many times do we speak to teams that try and go above perhaps a level that's sustainable and then go pop?
So many, don't we? Every year, every month, you hear of a club that are in difficulties, striving for that, you know, that's next league and division up. And I think you've got to work within your means, continuously work within your means, make sure you've got a good grounded community-based football club. And then, you know, with that, bringing the crowds in, and if you're playing good football, enjoyable football, and the community get involved, you know, you can move forward, but you have to do it sustainably because, you know, I mean, how many times have we heard in the last 3 or 4 seasons on this show, managers that are running teams that have been relegated from the Football League, and their only concern is going straight back up, not actually consolidating, making sure that they're actually ready to go back up, and you don't want that yo-yo effect. So I think it's good to hear. I mean, obviously you want ambition, but they know where they lie, they know their potential, and if they actually overachieve their potential, it seems that they'll be doing it in the right manner, opposed to just throwing money that they don't have, a situation that won't help them out in the end.
We are going to hear from a club in just a moment who perhaps are trying to chase that dream with some more big signings. More on that in a moment. You are listening to the Non-League Show. If you want to give us a rating on iTunes, please do. We're also up for British Podcast of the Year. To vote, just head to britishpodcastawards.com. Now, former Spurs midfielder Jamie O'Hara is set for a return to football with a non-league side. And Jamie joins us now. Hi, Jamie.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm very well. What about you? What's this? Pulling on your boots again for Billericay?
I know. It's come out of the blue. It's something I wasn't expecting. So, I'm good friends with Mark Wright. He's a friend of mine, and he's put me forward to the chairman. And I met the chairman literally the other night, and he was like, come on, let's do it. Get you back playing. Get yourself fit again. And I'm signed.
I'll let Dave talk to you about the fitness as the manager of the team here. But for those, I'm sure quite a few people are aware now, particularly within non-league, Mark Wright has bought a 20% stake in the club. I've spoken to Glenn a number of times, Glenn Tampling, the owner of Billericay. What was it he said to you, and what was it Mark said to you that made you think, yeah, this is a club that kind of matched my ambitions too?
Well, I think what it was obviously I went on that TV show, Big Brother, so I made a life decision to maybe not be able to potentially play at the highest level again. So I had to kind of be realistic on where I was going to be after that. But I sat down with Mark and Glenn and we had a good chat, and we just, you know, obviously for me, it was just about getting back playing football again and enjoying, you know, I hate waking up in the morning and not playing football and not training. So, you know, this for me, it gives me the opportunity to just get back out on the pitch and enjoy myself. It's a club where Glenn was, you know, really ambitious about where he wants to take it. So it was just something that I thought, I'm local now, I've just moved to Chigwell, and it was just something I thought would be right for me.
Those ambitions then that Glenn's spoken about in the Ryman League at the moment, where do you think you can go with this club then? Where does he say that he thinks this club can go?
He said to me that he won't stop until he gets his club into the league. So I think he's pretty ambitious about where he wants to take the club, and he's a real ambitious guy, and he obviously he's done really well in business himself, so I think he's obviously really confident about where he can take the club, and the people and the players that he seems to be attracting is obviously going to be really positive, and hopefully I can do my best till the end of the season, and you know, we're only 3 points off the playoffs where I've just come in, and you know, I've got some big games coming up, so maybe we might be able to get promoted this year.
Yeah, trophy would be nice. Go on, Dave.
No, I'll be brief. How unfit are you?
Are we talking weeks, days? No. I'll be out there on Saturday. So I'll obviously, to play at the highest level, you've got to keep maintaining a lot of fitness. So I mean, I guess I'm not going to be 100%, but I'm hoping with my sort of experience and my sort of ability that I'll be able to play at this level and be able to do a good job for the team.
Swampy,
come back in a second, Dave. I mean, in fact, you've nearly answered the question I was going to ask. Actually, you know, you're 30 years of age. You played the professional game. You played at the top level. Several levels below your ability. I mean, is this for you, a way of you getting back into the game and going back up the ladder, or are you just happy just to play football and be comfortable in sort of the surroundings?
No, I think for me, this is a stepping stone back into football. Obviously, I'd done that TV show. I was injured. I wasn't playing. I wasn't getting a phone call, and I was frustrated. So that's why I took that opportunity. But for me, obviously, my passion is football, and I love playing football every day. I hate waking up in the morning and not playing. So for me, this is, you know, I had to be realistic. It was, you know, right towards the end of the season, I wasn't going to get a professional club who was obviously going to play me for the next sort of 6-7 games. You know, so for me, it would be, you know, I've signed for Billericay to the end of the season, and I think there's a contract there at the end of the season for another year. But it's for me to get fit and show what I'm about, and just show people that I still want to play football, and this will be for me to maybe get back into the professional game.
Yeah,
go on,
yeah.
Dave.
No, you've more or less answered it, Jason. You see, as a manager, my suspicion would be, have you hunger left because you've played at the top level? You're dropping down to this level. Is it about your pound notes or is it about your hunger? And you sound as if you've a genuine hunger to get back in.
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, I played a five-a-side the other night with my mates with nothing on the table, and you know, I play to win. At the end of the day, as soon as I walk out on a football pitch, whoever I'm playing for, I want to win. So that hunger and that competitive nature never goes, whoever I'm playing for. So, you know, obviously, it's not the level that I'm used to, and it might be a bit of a culture shock, but at the end of the day, for me, I love playing football, and I just want to get out on the pitch and just enjoy myself.
Jamie, good luck this weekend. Thanks for coming on the show.
All right, cheers, no problem. Take care.
Cheers, Jamie. You too. Jamie O'Hara, coming back to football with
I'm calling him Jason because I'm aware of what's coming up next.
Did you just see it? See how I glossed over that for you?
Yeah, no, fantastic.
Hopefully he won't have heard you call him Jason as well. Jamie O'Hara. That's because we're going to talk to Jason Goodliff in just a moment, assistant boss at Boreham Wood. Jamie, coming into Billericay then, Dave, for you, Paul Konchesky there, obviously Mark Wright's come in as one of the owners of the club. They're really trying to motor and to do it quickly as well.
Yeah, I think you've got to be careful of your mixture. You know, Jamie says it might be a culture shock. Let me assure him it will be a culture shock.
Do you think
a massive one? And I think
if you're managing the opposition going into Billericay and you're seeing Paul Konchesky there and you're seeing Jamie O'Hara there, what are you saying to your players?
I'm saying, let's see how much they fancy it. Let's see if they're here to pick up their wages or here to get stuck in. Because, you know, they're coming out of a level of football that is top in technically, but has lost, in my opinion, has lost the physicality that non-league still has. So I'm not saying kick them, but I would say make your mark early. Let them know that, you know, what are they down here for? Ask them the question.
The other thing, Caroline, is that the players themselves, as Dave will know, they'll see those players and they'll want to match them and they'll want to see if they've got if they've got the minerals to compete at this in these kind of sort of like leagues, because it's totally different and it separates the men's from the boys.
But what it is doing is again more attention for Billericay, and both the story over Jamie O'Hara and there's a rumour over Carlton Cole going there as well. Both those stories featured in the Red Tops this morning before we came on air. So, you know, it's getting headlines for the club.
Well, it will get headlines for the club, but again, you don't want the club to turn into a circus and, you know, maybe one or two signings. But once you've got four and five of these top X players, you know, or still playing, but, you know, from Premier League and so on and so forth, I think it just turns the club in the wrong way. You know, semi-pro football is about something a little bit different. It's about developing young players, bringing them through, and also having a right kind of blend. And I agree with Dave in a lot of ways. You've got to get the right blend. And if you've got a mixture of five or six X, you know, Premier League footballers, I don't know what I'm saying about the semi-pro game, to be honest with me.
Well, good luck to them, and we'll keep an eye on that one.
Yeah.
Now, big result this week, Boreham Wood beating Lincoln 2-0. But there was another big result for the club, for Wood, that is, as their academy captain, Ben Goodliff, is to join Championship side Wolves. Ben's dad, Jason, is Wood assistant manager, and both join us now. Hello, Jason. Hello, Ben.
Hi, how are you?
Now, I can't tell which is which, and I know that's because you're so alike anyway. Jason, let's embarrass Ben then. How proud are you of your boy?
Yeah, obviously, it's been a fantastic couple of days for us both. And, you know, he's worked very hard on his game this year. Has been given a sort of opportunity that he's really looking forward to. And obviously, we're looking forward as well as parents for making that step, you know.
And Ben, for you, how much of this is down to your dad?
Oh, well, he's been a massive part for me, not just him, like everyone in around the club, helped me along through it. Obviously, as a centre-half, you know, he's also a little role model to look up to.
Dave Anderson has spent the whole show talking about how many dressing rooms he's been in, but Dave, you know both of these too well.
Yes, I do, and let me cut the chase. The real reason that Ben's going to Wolves as he spent some time in my dressing room.
Yeah, he hasn't quite learned your language yet, yeah.
To be fair, no, what I would like to say, you know, and obviously I'm aware of Ben for a number of years because Jason worked with me, but and in all seriousness, not the fact that it was my dressing room and Jason was my assistant manager, but them days, Ben, were good, must have been good for you to train with the lads and sort of get the basis of what non-league's about to start with.
Yeah, no, it is. It's a different sort of level, sort of head it, kick it and tackle kind of environment, and it's going to be a different environment to go into now. But I'm just looking forward to it, looking forward to getting my head down, trying to work as best I can and
try and see how far I can go.
And just one for Jay. So obviously, I can ask him this any time, but I'd like to ask him on the air. You know, I know you're obviously proud of him, as we all are, Jay, but it's going to be a difficult situation for you now, because I'm sure you're going to want to go and watch Ben as much as you can, which is difficult in your role.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, the initial bit, he's going to go up there and spend a little bit of time before the end of the season, although they're not able to actually sort of make it official until the end of the season. And then it'll just be a case of him sort of having a pre-season there, Dave, and, you know, the under-23s is the sort of level he'll be at initially. And it'll be a case of, you know, a lot of their games are sort of midweek fixtures. And it'll be a case of probably seeing the fixture list and seeing how many games I can get to and watch him as he progresses, you know.
And last one for me, sorry. You say the fixture list. Is Boreham Wood on that fixture list? Did you manage to get a pre-season game for a club or anything?
If I'm totally honest, Dave, I've only been treated as a parent in all of this. It's been very much done by the chairman. I'm sure he's got some kind of thing put in place for it, but I honestly don't know the financial side of things or even the deal itself. So, you know, I would like to think that they've probably arranged something like that, but at this stage, I honestly don't know.
Yeah, the chairman, Danny Hunt, has said that it's a simple deal and that things will benefit the club too. So he's obviously sorted something out, which is great news. So, Ben, you don't go up until May. For you now with Boreham Wood then to the end of the season or to May at least, how important is it for you to just kind of get your head down, avoid injury, of course, but see how well you can do with the side?
That is. I've got a chance to sort of show myself in this kind of level before I go up, see if I can like do my bit on behalf of whether the club can allow me to do that. But it's all sort of down to them if they give me the opportunity.
And Jason, for you now, beating Lincoln, of course, great result for Boreham Wood this week. A quick word on Lincoln. Having seen what you have of them this season, do you think they'll go on and still win the league?
Yeah, I mean, funny enough, because we were up at Wolves on Tuesday, I wasn't actually at the game, so the lads are all giving me a bit stick because they managed to win and in clean sheet without me. Although I will take a bit of credit for the four that we had previous to that. But Lincoln for me have been fantastic this year. You know, they're having a little slight blip at the minute. I think purely just because of the intensity of the amount of games that they've had in the sort of close period of time. But, you know, I think once Danny gets them back up and running, you know, I mean, obviously Saturday's a big game for them against Forest Green. But, you know, I think they've probably got the strongest squad. It's just whether they can get the legs going again and see themselves over the line. You know, Forest Green are on a great run just now. So I think Saturday's game will be an interesting one, certainly.
Jason, Ben, really appreciate your time. Thank you. Enjoy the rest of your time at Boreham Wood. No doubt you will, Ben. And all the best of luck at Wolves.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thanks for coming on.
Cheers, Ben guys.
And Jason Goodliff, Dave Anson taught them all they know. And I
sincerely hope. I sincerely hope people took it at the tongue in cheek that it was spat out at.
I'm surprised you got time to put your tongue in the cheek all that time. It's in the Guinness.
Do you know what? Just on you know, now that Jason and Ben have gone, Jason said to me a long time ago, and he's not, you know, every parent thinks that their kid's George Best, and Jay ain't sort of along those lines. But yeah, I remember him saying to me when he first went, he says, "Do you know what, Dave? He's got a chance." And this is maybe 3-4 years ago. He says he just has got a chance, you know. Mm. And if you meet Ben, the one thing that you knew about him is if he had a chance, he would take it because of his – he loves the game, loved being around it, loved helping, has got a cheekiness about him that will go well in a dressing room and marshals the defence. He could be a John Terry. There you go.
Well, ooh, someone clip that out and save it. Not least because it's the only part of the show that wasn't interrupted by technology. Dave Anderson will be the next John Terry. On that subject of Lincoln, just briefly before we go, that defeat for them at Boreham Wood, first defeat since the end of January at Barrow, means Forest Green have gone top of the table because they beat Solihull 2-1. They've gone 3 points clear. But Lincoln, 3 games in hand, still 2 points clear of third place Tranmere. So...
I think, as if you listen back a few weeks ago, I think it was after the Arsenal game when the FA Cup run came in. I said that, you know, the next few weeks will be important, because I'm no genius, but everyone knew that there was a dip coming. Because when you come out of the headlights of all of that, you know, and the run they've been on, there has to be a dip. All it's about is how Danny and Nicky manage it. And if you were a betting man, you would bet that they'll manage it correctly.
Yeah, and also I think the fact that they've only got the league now to concentrate on, obviously getting beaten in the FA Trophy semi-final. So the league now is for them. They've got them three games in hand. It's all in their hands more than anything. And we've seen the quality that they've shown this season. You're right, Dave. Every team has a little bit of a blip, and let's see what they can do. And hopefully they may end up champions at the end of the season.
But what I will say, Kaz, sorry to butt in again. I'm speaking from the heart here. They will feel they're never going to win a game at the minute. It's funny how quickly when you've been on a massive winning streak and you lose a couple, all of a sudden, although he'll show calmness and he'll preach calmness, inside he'll be genuinely worried about getting his next point.
Lincoln then three behind Forest Green Rovers, a huge weekend, as Jason was saying, with them coming up this weekend too. Some other results just to touch on, namely because they resulted or affected things. Ebbsfleet thrashed Bishop Stortford 8-0. Their boss, Mark Hawkes, has now left. Kevin Watson, next of Colchester United, he's now gone in at Bishop Stortford. Maidenhead beat Oxford 6-1. Top of the table, Ebbsfleet and Maidenhead, of course. So that's the race for the National South. And one up near you, Swampy, see Aston United put 10 past Skem. I don't know if you saw that.
They did, in fact. In fact, I go to a game every Tuesday, and that was the game that we were going to go to, but we decided there was too many roundabouts in Skem. So we went to watch top versus second, Nantwich versus Blyth. But Skemmersdale, unfortunately, this season, two seasons ago, they were top of the division, looking like they were going to go into the Conference North. And for the last two seasons, they've just gone further and further down, and now rock bottom. They were beaten 5-0 on the Saturday against Blyth Spartans away, and their season is over, unfortunately. The one thing you do, though, you fear for the players, because they're a young team, and they're getting battered now week in, week out. I don't think they'll have another 10 put past them, but I think it's the largest away victory in Northern Premier history for some time. It's going to be a bit difficult. But the Northern Premier Division this season, absolutely superb. Blyth, top 10 points gap between them and Nantwich. And we saw a 2-2 draw on Tuesday and an absolutely wonderful game of football with four quality goals. And, it's strong up here at the moment, the leagues. And, the Conference North will be all the better for those teams coming up this season.
There was one other line just from the NPL Division 1 North. And that's four sides have had points deducted for fielding ineligible players. Colne were chasing playoffs, weren't they? They were deducted
one point.
Bamber Bridge, Ramsbottom, who are sort of mid-table, they've been docked 4 points. And Prescott Cables are struggling right at the other end, have had three taken off. So that could really change things in that league.
Well, yeah, Prescott basically were a third bottom currently. They were on 35 points, so those deductions takes them to minus three, which is 32. Ghoul behind them with Bursko. So, four teams losing out on points. I think not registrations and a whole host of other things coming into play. But it just goes to prove you've got to make sure that the players on the pitch are eligible to play, because it can come back and bite you. And for Prescott Cables this season, it could be a big one, that. They've got to be very careful.
I was momentarily distracted because someone just tapped on my window where I am and wants to be let in, and I don't know who they are. Right, anyway.
It's not a cat. It's actually human.
It's actually human. No one.
Caroline, you're on the 14th floor, and if you're knocking on the window, it must be the window cleaner.
You have a problem, yeah.
So I'm just off to see Spider-Man.
We won't see you again then, will we?
No, well, thanks to Swampy and to Dave. If you've got a story, a lot of our stories this week were generated by you getting in touch and wanting to hear more about your club. So keep doing that. We'd love to hear from you at Non-League Show. There is a couple of other stories that will change before you hear this go out. So let's just pretend that we were right the first time round. Today's show was sponsored by Pitch Hero, celebrating 10 years of being the heart of grassroots football. If there's a story you want to see on the show, drop us a line at Non-League Show. Once again, sponsored by who, Dave?
Pitcher-o. Thank you both.